Time to talk about a new book, Walking the Rock Country in Kakadu, a book co-written by Diane Lucas and Ben Tyler. It's a book that explores themes of nature, indigenous culture, and environmental conservation through the lens of young children who are walking through the rock country while at the same time learning about the natural world and indigenous traditions. Diane, first of all, thanks for joining us and welcome to NITV Radio.
Thank you.
So I'll start straight away by asking you, what is the inspiration behind this book, Walking the Rock Country in Kakadu?
I went to live in Kakadu 40 years ago, and I met Ben at that time, and I went as a teacher, and I just felt like when I went to live in Kakadu, I lived on an outstation where it was the outstation Ben's mum lives on. I felt like I went home. I grew up in New South Wales, but it was so warmed my heart so much to go to this country and to live with people who had, you know, the elders had walked the land for many years, and then there's stories from the past and everywhere I went in the different habitats. But in the rock country, everywhere you went, there's paintings on the walls. And I'd just sit there and I'd think about the way people lived and being in that environment. And I started to learn a lot of things from people. And I sat with my partner, and an old man who'd walked the land as a child. He was in his 70s at the time. And I said, I want to walk the land like you did. And he said, well, do it. You do it. Go do it. And I went, oh, that would be so great. And I think, I walked with lots of elders. I didn't walk the way he did, but I walked with lots of elders. And he would say, Diane, we have to tell the children about this. So we would go to camps and to the rock country, and he would tell stories from the past, and all the stone tools are sitting in the caves, and he'd talk about how people used them and collected them and about the rock art. And he educated all the children. They're all First Nation children. He just was urgent to convey that message. And so he said, you write it down and you use it in school. So it was, our schooling was out in the bush a lot. The rock country in Kakadu translates to Garire Gundenge Gariboknan Gunwadiwadi, which is also on the title page.
This book obviously is about learning indigenous cultures. You just mentioned a bit of your story working with the elders on country. How else did you ensure that the stories, you say, accurately represent traditions of the area of Kakadu country?
Probably I was very fortunate to, you know, a lot of the parents of the children in the school, their families, elders, were still alive. And then they had a lot of knowledge from growing up. So I actually just realized that in this environment, we have two-way learning. They wanted to learn English and wanted to learn how their land was being used for mining and national parks. But I felt that the cultural knowledge was so important to bring forward and to educate through that. And so along the way, I learned a lot. And because I was interested, I was taught a lot of things, and I went on to document traditional resources and things with the other elders for a number of 5 years. And I just feel that because people told stories, and that's the oral storytelling, is so important. So the first book that I wrote, I showed the elders I was working with. I read the story, and they said, you got to do that for children, for schools. You know, they've got to know. And as the older people started to get old and younger people were going off to the city to do things, they were just desperate to tell their story to whoever wanted to listen. And being a teacher in an Indigenous school was, you know, I was targeted as a conduit to help, you know, do that. It's a blessing to me. It was such a wonderful thing to have.
The book has got lots of illustrations really depicting the country very, very well. including the flora and the fauna. What other research methods did you use to really well depict the fauna and the flora in the book?
I was just asked how we selected and decided what we would put in the book, because somebody said to me, it's a bit like an encyclopedia. And I said, well, we went walking together, and in that process, as the authors and illustrator, it's important for us to all get the feeling of those places. And the stories between that Ben and I tell each other were stories reflecting different times of our lives. Ben was only 6 when I met him, so when the elders did those things, he couldn't remember some of those things, and he'd say, oh, I don't remember that, but thanks for telling me. And then he would bring in something else. And so it was a great collaboration between all of us. And Emma she grew up in the Territory around the Katherine region, around where there's rock country as well, and she just loves painting and loves the bush and loves the animals. And so we looked at that season, and so the things that were going on in that season, that's what we pulled in to make the story and to give the knowledge that, you know, is living within us.
It's not only just about the flora and the fauna, there's also a very strong element of language that you include. What was the process of actually incorporating language? Was it easy? Tell us more about how you went about this.
Because I run around the country with people from that land, we talk in with the places, the resources, the winds, the season, the animals. We talk in that language. And so it's in my being and has been for many years. And so when people ask me, oh, what's the botanical name for this plant? I go, and it goes through all these languages that I hear, and then I'll get to the botanical one. But, you know, first of all, so often the indigenous name comes first. I was so surprised that young children, like 2-year-old, said to me when I first lived on this outstation, Diane, you know this Batu? And I said, no. And so we walked around, and she and some of the other elder children sang the song, Batu, 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 Batu. And you'd find these little plants that were only about, 30 centimetres tall, and they had a red flower, and they had a nodding flower, and that would be nodding to another one. And if you called to them, found them, the children had this story where you dig that little yam and you look which way it's nodding, and then you walk to that and find another one and dig that. And just things that, children are close to the ground, and so they observe things, and yeah, just things like that. It was wonderful. And so probably because I've walked the land for so many years in Kakadu and the Top End, that I recall these things as I walk. I walk every day in the bush. So it's not hard to think English.
And why is it important for children to learn about the natural and cultural heritage of places like Kakadu?
So they have respect and acknowledge that this land belongs to people who are caretaking the land and have for thousands, tens of thousands of years, and that nature is part of your life and you are part of nature. So it's important for children to feel comfortable in doing that and to realise their connections to land are so strong. You know, my children grew up like that. Just because, it's this, the respect when you know stories that connect with it. And if children learn these stories from a young age, then they can grow with that respect, and they don't need to push it aside and say, oh, that's not true.
And what challenges did you come across while writing this book and developing the characters?
The children's editor in Alan Lamwin, first story we did, I did a story many years ago, 20 years ago, walking with the seasons in Kakadu. But a couple of years ago, Alan and Unwin published Walking in Gagudju Country, Exploring the Monsoon Forest. And we took her for a walk, and she just said, write this story. Like, you're just telling me about these trees, about this, and you're having a conversation about it with each other. And this is what wasn't hard, really, because I live like that.
How did Emma Long's illustrations contribute to bringing the story to life, and what was it like working with her?
Well, as a writer, I've written with a number of different illustrators. When I give stories to someone who's going to illustrate them, I just love the way that you see what comes out of what they're feeling for it. She did a lot of research. She asked lots of questions, and we took her to places, gave her book references. She, you know, when she was unsure of what tree to put in a place, she asked. I think it becomes much more interesting if you've got a collaboration between the three of you. So you're always checking in, you know, like, is this all right? Do you like this? So I would see, like, as Emma was painting them, I would go to her place after she, you know, she'd say, come and have a look at this and let's talk about that. And so you're part of that process. And I think that she really loves the bush too. And she wants to, through her paint, to be really true to the plant or the animal or the bird or through the story. And to me, that's really important. When you write in place, it's really important to show that. I'm not very keen about animation in books, because my children, if they ever saw one of those, they'd go, what's that? Is that me? And I'd say, oh, it's meant to be an emu. And I just think it's, you know, it means a lot more when the right plant and animal and bird and lizard and reptiles are in an insect are in situ in the place that you're talking about.
And finally, before I let you go, what message do you hope young readers will take away from this new book?
When you walk on the land, look around, listen, and the land will speak to you, and the wind will speak with you. Just take and be in the moment in that place. You will be surprised and rewarded with so many beautiful things.
Diane Lucas, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us in NITV Radio about this very beautiful children's book, Walking the Rock Country in Kakadu. It's been a really great pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Bertrand.